Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music to this morning and the messages that you receive from the music. And what a blessing the congregational singing is. It's a message there. And then the specials is just a tremendous blessing to sense the presence of the Lord working through the services this morning. If you have your Bibles with you today, if you'd look with me to the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, chapter 22. I'll be reading verse 1 down to verse 18 this morning. Genesis chapter 22. If you would, go ahead and stand with me and we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only begotten, the only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called up to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for the privilege it is to be in church. Thank you for how you have preserved your holy word for us so that we might be able to read what you have written down and preserved and know that you have a purpose for it. It's your word for us even today. And I pray, God, that you would just meet with us now in a very special way. And I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. If you know the Old Testament scriptures and how that everything God established, we know that Abraham was chosen by God to establish the nation which would be called Israel. They would be known as God's chosen people. A people who would live by faith. In the book of Galatians in chapter 3, we find here, let me just read this to you, you don't have to turn there, but Galatians in chapter 3, as Paul's writing to the church in Galatia, he helps them to understand that this was an example of how that all people especially during this New Testament church age, should live by faith. In Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, or the children of God. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Before the gospel was ever preached, Jesus Christ brought in the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All nations of all time be blessed. So then they which are that which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So we find here that Abraham and the nation of Israel and God's desire for them to live by faith was an example not only for the Old Testament nations, for the rest of the world to see how that God's people would live by faith, but it was also for a New Testament as well. All nations, all people would learn from God's people and how we are to live by faith. Abraham, as an example of faith, would face many trials to test his faith. In Genesis in chapter 12, we find the Abrahamic covenant. When God called out to Abraham, and the first thing that he would have to do is God called out to Abraham to leave his homeland, his family. And he was willing to leave his homeland and follow God's will wherever that would be. And so God established the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham as he would call him to leave, and Abraham would be willing and by faith leave his homeland. He would next of all, in chapter 13 of Genesis, be tested by God through Lot. He was willing to give up land or possessions for the testimony of God. He counted the testimony of God more important than any land or possessions. Tested his faith. After this, we find he would cast out Hagar and her son Ishmael when it came down to a decision that he would have to make between Sarah and Hagar. And God would tell him that it was the thing to do, that it was God's will for his life to cast out Hagar and Ishmael. And then we find the next test would be here in chapter 22. Probably the hardest of all. When God would tell Abraham to sacrifice his only son through Sarah, Isaac. Knowing how much he loved Isaac. Knowing that he would have laid down his life for Isaac. That he looked to his son and realized he was the promised son. He had such a great love for him. And God, testing his faith, commanded him to sacrifice Isaac. You see, through this Bible story, it reveals a perfect example of what faith promise is all about. By faith. And it will take faith. Promising to give to God whatever God would ask you to give. Now think about that. Whatever God would ask you to give. God had tested Abraham's faith in several different ways, but this would be the all-time great test. Would you be willing to sacrifice that which you love the most? Can I tell you, the Christian life is all about faith. And Abraham is that example of that faith. Again, over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, I want you to see this. It's connected. The Old Testament stories are connected to New Testament reality. Amen? The Old Testament stories are reality in the Old Testament, but the principles behind that are the same today. God has not changed. Abraham lived by faith. It was counted unto him for righteousness, the same as God would have us today. Our faith is what's most important. Here in Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 17, the Hebrews hall of faith, if you will, presenting Abraham. He said in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. That was testing, a trial. Offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now that's very symbolic and that's important, because even though Abraham didn't understand it, and we look back on that time and say, how in the world could God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? This was symbolic of ultimately God the Father sacrificing his only begotten son in Jesus Christ. For he sent him to be a substitutionary sacrifice for humanity. He sent him to go to Calvary's cross and there be crucified. That's how much God loves humanity. And that's what God was willing to sacrifice for humanity to have to be reconciled to an almighty creator God. God himself gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Abraham did not understand that. Isaac did not understand it at the time. But this would be something that would be symbolic for us to understand that he asked Abraham, and that would be a symbol, if you will, a type of God the Father giving his only begotten son in Jesus Christ. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able, and that's the only way he was able to do it, by faith, realizing that God is able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. That's faith. Faith, first of all, is what's most important. We live by faith. And the Christian life from beginning to end is all about faith. Faith to believe that I'm a sinner. Faith to believe that Jesus died for my sin. Faith to believe that all I have to do, it's a free gift. What I must do, my part in it, is a free gift. I have to acknowledge my sin, my need for a Savior. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as a sacrificial lamb. Paid my sin debt on Calvary's cross. And then by faith, call upon the name of the Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. And we have the Old Testament stories and everything else leading to that New Testament reality of salvation. Example of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac. The first thing that we learn from this example is know that God will test our faith. Do you have faith? If it's not tested, you don't know if you have faith or not. The Bible says in chapter 22, in the beginning of the story, in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, and that word tempt is tested or tried Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. God will test our faith. Some might take us through the fire. There's no doubt this would have been one of the toughest of all the tests that Abraham would go have to prove himself. This would be the toughest thing that he would have to go through. It would be like going through the fire, if you will. This is something that you don't want to do. This is something that was going to be very painful. This is something that is necessary to purify his faith. Can I tell you, that's what the Bible says about our trials today over in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let me read it to you, very familiar passage of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, hit this, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And that temptations, again, is either testing or trials. If need be, God says, God will determine what kind of trials that each and every one of us need to go through. But when God determines it's a trial that you need to go through, it is there to help you to increase and strengthen your faith. For the next verse says this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, as gold is tried with fire, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, it's the fire that purifies the gold. And God says it is the trials that God allows us to go through that strengthens us and purifies us and purifies our faith and gets our faith to where God wants it to be. That trial, you might be in that right now. You might be going through some very difficult times. You might be tested. You're wondering if this is more of a test than I can handle. The Bible promises that God will not put more upon you than what you're able to bear. As long as you stay focused on God. That the trial is testing and strengthening our faith so that we might be able to give to God. If Abraham had not had his faith tested in the trials leading up to this trial, he would not have been as receptive to this trial. He would not have been as ready to do what God had asked him to do. But his faith had been tested and tried so that he was able at this time to know that if that's what God would have me to do, I have the faith to know that even if he sacrificed, God can raise him up. And he would tell the men that was waiting on them, "We will return. My son will return with me. No matter what happens up there on the mount, no matter what takes place, he will return with me." He had faith to know that even if he would sacrifice his son, that God would raise him up. Amen. Our faith. You might be in that trial as by fire right now. Can I tell you that it's there so that you might be able to give to God what he asked for? What does he ask for? He asked for a testimony. In our lives today, what's most important that we have to offer Christ today in this New Testament church age is a Christ-like example, a testimony. To represent Jesus Christ wherever I go, as the light of the world, as the salt of the world, of the earth. That's what God asks of us. In order for us to give that kind of testimony, then we have to have faith. If I don't have faith to understand that God is real, if I don't have faith to understand that God has me here for a purpose, if I don't have faith to know that God wants to use my life, I will not be used of God. I will not do what is necessary to do to have a testimony wherever I'm at to whoever comes in my path that God wants me to have for him. See, God lives within us if you're saved, and he lives within us so that he might be able to work through us to be able to testify to the lost that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So the first thing that God wants us to give to him is a testimony of Christ-likeness. If your faith is not where it ought to be, you'll not do that. Because you'll cower to the pressures that the world puts on you. You'll cower to the peer pressures in high school, in college, in families, at work. We'll cower to that. But if your faith is where it needs to be, then you will take a stand. And you will give God a testimony that he asked you to give. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And we're to glorify God. Amen. Not only does he ask for a testimony, he asks for time. Will we give God the time that he asked us to give to him in worship and praise? Will we give God the talents? If you're saved this morning, listen to me. God has equipped you with spiritual gifts, and he has given you talents and gifts that you might be able to use them to glorify the Lord. If we have not faith, we'll use them to glorify self. If we have not faith, we'll use them to try to make it advance in this world. But if you understand by faith that you have a far greater purpose in this world than making money, then you will understand that you have a responsibility to be able to give God your talents so that you will look to serve him no matter where it is and what you're doing. But I will give my gifts and my talents, therefore, to glorify God. If your faith is not where it ought to be, you will not do that. And if you're not doing that, then God will take you through the fire to get you to the place where you will be willing to do that. That's faith. Giving God what he asks for, testimony, time, talents, tithe, offerings. If we're not doing that, it's simply because your faith is not where it ought to be. And if your faith is not where it ought to be, listen to me, the only way to get it there is through trials. Amen. That's this Bible. That's what the Bible says. Know that God will test our faith. The second thing we look at when we study this passage of Scripture and how we need to apply it to our lives today is we must learn. Once we know what God would have us to do, do it. Don't delay, just do it. God spoke to Abraham. It was not what Abraham woke up that day thinking he was going to hear from God. But it was God's will for Abraham. And Abraham, the Bible says in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early. Let's do it. Let's just commit to it and let's do it. Let's not put it off. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Once you know. Have you ever wondered what went through Abraham's mind when he heard God say, sacrifice Isaac? It'd be the same as us. When God, when it's revealed to you, when you've heard it preached, or you've read it in the Bible, or somebody else, some other Christian has helped you and counseled you and given you insight into what God's will is for your life. And you said, what? No way. You mean to be what God wants me to be and to do what God wants me to do, I have to get baptized? I have to stand in front of a whole congregation of people? Oh, I'm just too shy. I can't do that. Well, God will work until you have faith enough to do that. Because that's God's will for your life. Once you get saved, don't be ashamed. He hung on a tree and was crucified before the world, humiliated for you. No, he couldn't ask too much of you. Especially the first thing he says once you get saved, identify with me. If you're truly saved, then you will not be ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. If you've been saved but you've never followed him in believer's baptism, then God is going to continue to work and put trial after trial and try to get your faith to the place where you will say, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care how nervous I'll be. It's God's will. I want to be baptized. I want to be a part of the church. What? You mean I have to be a part of the church? That means I have to assemble together with them when they assemble together? Yeah. That is God's will. And if you don't have faith to do that, can I tell you, God will continue to work on you through trials until your faith is to the place where you understand, that's what I need to do. Well, this is a big one right now. What? I've got to give 10%? You see, it's not got to. When you understand it, it's thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give back to you that which you have given to me. Because without your health, without the mind that God's given to you, without the talent, without the opportunities, you would not have anything. And I acknowledge God for everything. And tithing is just a part of faith. Yeah. And then above the tithe, it's an offering. Two ways to give, through tithes and offerings of our finances. What? Faith promised missions? Take that out of my tithe. If that was Bible, we would, but that's not Bible. Yeah. That's faith. Don't delay. Once we understand it to be God's will, now don't do it just because the preacher says to do it. Don't do it just because the church says to do it. Don't do it just because some friend or some parent tells you to do it. Study the scriptures and know what God has written down for us. And when you understand it's not of man, it's of God, then just do what God says to do. Whenever it is that you know it's His will for you to do. No doubt Abraham's mind went to, no way. I'm not sacrificing he's my only begotten son. He's the heir of promise. He's what you promised to give me. And now you want me to give him back to you and sacrifice him? I'll not do it. That's what would have gone through Abraham's mind, because that's what goes through our minds. But Abraham controlled his mind and committed to giving God what God had asked him to give. See, then they had to rely on angels. They had to rely on verbally hearing from God. Now listen to me, we don't have to rely on an angel meeting us in the middle of the night and telling us to do something. That's not going to happen. We have the completed, full revelation of God written down, preserved in this Bible. You don't have to go by what somebody else says or what some kind of how you feel like or what some spirit told you to do in the middle of the night. That's not of God. God expects us to go by what He's written down. Amen. If you think God wants you to do something and it's not according to the Bible, it's not what God wants you to do. Some evil spirit, something else happened to you. But listen to me. What is written down and preserved by God is exactly what God would have us to do. So now that you know it's not the preacher, it's not the church, it's not a religious group, it is the Bible, God's holy word, and the Bible tells me to do this, then I will be committed to doing whatever it is that God wants me to do. That's the kind of faith that we are to live by. Yeah, and we must not delay. Because the longer you put it off, the more time you're giving Satan to talk you out of it, and that's going to put you in a trial as by fire to get you to where you need to be. Lastly, this morning, first of all, know that God will test our faith. It's Bible. We must learn not to delay our obedience. When we know it's God's will, just commit to it right then and there. Last thing is, be confident. And knowing that God blesses obedience. Just need to, by faith, know that. You say, I don't know how I'm going to get by. I don't know how this, that, and that. Don't. If you know it's God's will, know that God blesses obedience. Verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I just believe if I obey, God will bless. Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Now, Abraham's faith was there. I don't know that Isaac's would have been at that time. If he had known that he was going to be the sacrifice, I mean, humanistically speaking, he might have bolted, amen? He had to be bound. He was bound because he wasn't quite there. But can I tell you, there was something for Isaac to learn through this as well. You think Abraham's trial was by fire? Isaac was going to be the sacrifice. Yeah. God will provide himself a lamb. Then afterwards, verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, once it was done, and said, by myself, God says, you can't swear by anything higher than that. God says, by myself, I sworn, saith the Lord, for because, and that because is important there, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, by faith you've done this, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Now Abraham's hearing this, Isaac is hearing this. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth, from this point throughout eternity, throughout the human race, all nations of the earth shall be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Can you imagine Abraham and Isaac coming down off that mountain together after hearing the blessings that were associated with their faith? Woo! Hallelujah! Dad, did you hear that? Dad, do you understand that because of what has happened right here, the rest of humanity from this point forward is going to be blessed because of this? God is going to work through this to be a blessing to humanity. They were high-fiving it if they did that at that time. I don't know if they did or not. But I guarantee you, whatever they did to show their excitement and joy and praise, they were doing it. They were jumping and leaping and praising God. Coming down the mountain. When they come to an end of the trial, and their faith had been increased. They were more aware of God and his future blessings than what they had going up the mountain, than what you have going into the trial. When you come out of the trial and you have been found to be obedient, your awareness of God is going to be greater. Your understanding of future blessings will be more of a praise, be more evident. But the key, we must learn to give to God whatever God asks us to give. Are we there? I trust you are. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you aware of what God would have us to do? Are you aware of what God has revealed to us through the Word of God, the Bible? And are you giving it? God will continue to work through trials until we are doing and willing to give as God would have us to. If you're saved, you're a child of God's. God has a purpose for your life. If you're not saved, you're not going to have that. But can I tell you this morning, if you're not saved, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. And those that have not received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior will die and go to a devil's hell for an eternity. It's not worth that. Let's get saved. Let's take advantage of salvation. And then as a saved individual, be willing to give to God whatever it is that he asks. Father, we bow before you. We thank you, Lord God, for the example of Abraham and the scriptures and how that it puts it all together. And I pray, God, even now, you know what's taking place in the lives of all that are here. You know what kind of decisions need to be made. I pray this morning right now, God, that you would bind Satan from their minds and their hearts, and you would reveal to each one here exactly your will for their lives. There's some here that need to be saved. Maybe someone here this morning saved that's not been baptized, not become a member of the church, not serving you as you'd have them to serve you. God, I pray that they would submit themselves to that right now. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.